On these summer Sundays, we're looking at some of the Celtic saints and the different strands of Celtic Christianity which they are known for, the strands which get woven together like strands of a rope or cord into a very special, strong Christian faith. The Celtic Church proved to be very influential and effective in spreading the gospel throughout the United Kingdom and Europe. So how can we, who are the Christian Church of today, learn from them as we try to be Christ's body on earth, spreading the good news? Last week we heard about Patrick. Prayer was a way of life to him, and in that he followed Christ's example. And this week we turn to Columba and focus on finding God in creation, in the created world around us. Our main reading this morning is one of the Psalms, which was a book of the Bible which was much loved and read by the Celtic Christians. And many of the Psalms praise God's creation. But the one Alistair is going to read for us is Psalm 8. And you can find it on page 546 in the Pew Bibles.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Psalm 8 is a wonderful hymn of praise, celebrating the relationship of God the Creator with the human beings that he created. And there's a real sense of awe. God uses his creation to sing out in praise of him, even infants, just as the children shouted out praise in the temple with Jesus. How incredible it is that the maker of the universe should care for each one of us. How incredible that we've been given responsibilities to care for his creation. How incredible that we can look forward to glory. What a God we have. Columba would have read this psalm with great enjoyment, I'm sure. He was born in 521 in Donegal. His mother had a vision before his birth telling her that this child would bring many to Christ. He became a deacon in his teens. That was in County Down, and then he moved to County Meath, and then he founded a settlement at Derry. And then he moved around for 15 years, planting churches and monasteries, possibly about 300, they think. But then his life changed dramatically when he was accused of illegally copying a precious book of Psalms. The king opposed him. And then the following year, Columba got involved in a battle against the king. The king was beaten and many of these people were killed. and the church court judged Columba and said he would have to leave Ireland, leave his homeland. He was given good advice by a friend of his who told him that he should win as many for Christ as had been killed in that battle. So in 563, he set sail in a little boat with 12 others and was swept across to Iona, where he founded a monastery, which became the most amazing missionary center of those days. Columba was well known for his love of creation. And Alistair's going to read for us now one of his poems which he wrote on Iona.
Delightful it is to stand on the peak of a rock, in the bosom of the isle, gazing on the face of the sea. I hear the heaving waves chanting a tune to God in heaven. I see their glittering surf. I see the golden beaches, their sands sparkling. I hear the joyous shrieks of the swooping gulls. I hear the waves breaking, crashing on rocks like thunder in heaven. I see the mighty whales. I watch the ebb and flow of the ocean tide. It holds my secret, my mournful flight from air. Contrition fills my heart as I hear the sea. It chants my sins, sins too numerous to confess. Let me bless Almighty God, whose power extends over sea and land, whose angels watch over all. Let me study sacred books to calm my soul. I pray for peace, kneeling at heaven's gate. Let me do my daily work, gathering seaweed, catching fish, giving food to the poor. Let me say my daily prayers, sometimes chanting, sometimes quiet, always thinking God. Delightful it is to live on a peaceful isle, in a quiet cell, serving the King of Kings.
Quite a while ago now, we were talking at Gathering for Praise about where we felt closest to God. And many people mentioned things in creation, in the natural world. And in that poem, Columba obviously feels close to God. But it's more than that. He feels creation joining in a song of praise to God. The waves, the birds, the glitter of the sea, the sparkle of the sands. He feels creation's mourning the sin which has changed things. And in particular, his own sin. But he knows himself to be forgiven by the power of a saving and loving God. He can bless the Lord. He can look forward to his daily reading, his prayer, focusing on his Maker. He can delight in his surroundings. Creation seems to speak to him about all his feelings. He seems to be at one with the world around him. I've just recently spent a fortnight in the mountains of the Austrian Tyrol. And at this time of year, the meadows are a carpet of flowers. The birds are singing. The snowmelt is cascading down the waterfalls and all the streams. And the sounds of so-called civilization, like the occasional car where there is a road, are literally drowned out by the song of creation. You don't hear a car because the stream is making such a racket. I think Columba would have loved it. Some of the other Celtic saints actually ended up in alpine valleys. No doubt they appreciated it too. I have a friend who finds difficulty in accepting some of the things in the Bible, like Isaiah saying that all the trees of the field will clap their hands, or Jesus saying that the stones will cry out, which we sang in that song before the children went. But I think Columba would have loved these images. And I don't have difficulty with them. I can see that happening. David Adam, who was a vicar of Lindisfarne a few years ago, writes about how the Celtic Christians wanted to develop the eye of the eagle, a bird they much admired. He says, they prayed that their eyes might be opened, that all their senses might be made alert to that which was invisible. They prayed that they might have the eagle's eye to see him who comes at all times. They expected to meet God in his creation and to learn from him as they did so. Almost all the monasteries and the priories they built were in remote places and quite often on islands. So they felt the full force of the weather. I think those of us who went on pilgrimage to Lindisfarne were conscious of just what these people faced in their everyday lives. As we crossed these sands on a rather eerie, misty morning, they had no causeway as a fallback. They just had a way across the sands with posts marking out the safe route to avoid quicksand and to avoid deep water. Now, we could scarcely see the next post when we set out. And that was a spring day. And later on in the day, it turned out to be a beautiful sunny day. They must have crossed on days when it was freezing cold, when there was a gale of wind, when the rain was raining horizontally, as it does on the northeast coast, lashing into their faces. Did they just see that as an expression of the power of God who was watching over them? I think they did. Why did they pick islands? David Adam, with his island experience, thinks these are borderlands. They're exciting, challenging places, places where you move from one place to the other, from the land to the sea, from the sea to the land. Iona is often said to be a place where the border between heaven and earth is a very thin thing, just like tissue paper. Borderlands are places of risk, which perhaps we avoid for that reason. Celtic Christians were never bound to their buildings. They were restless. They moved outwards and onwards through God's creation to another new site. They preached in the open air. John mentioned a while back that when Cuthbert travelled from Melrose to Edinburgh, he might well have stopped at the top of the hill in Liberton and preached there, taking inspiration from the hills that he could see, from the wonderful view. They had a wonderful example to follow in Jesus. He loved the open air. He walked for miles. He taught people in the fields or from a boat just off from shore. Jesus lived in the wilderness for 40 days. Jesus went to remote places to pray. And Jesus drew from the natural world for his teaching. The sower, the mustard seed, the vine, the sheep. He showed his authority over creation when he calmed the storm, when he walked on the water. And Jesus spoke to people about God's care for the most insignificant parts of his creation. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus told people not to worry, but to look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field that God cared for and God clothed. Are you not much more valuable than they? Columba clearly felt God's care all around him in creation. But he took seriously the role of looking after it. That's the role we were given at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And this is celebrated in Psalm 8 as David wonders at the important role that we've been given. But we have Jesus' example of how to rule when he said he didn't come to be served but to serve. We have a responsibility to this creation which we've been given to rule. And it is being damaged by the sin of the world. But the Celtic Christians recognized the saving work done by Jesus. And the cross was the symbol that they planted all over the countryside. Great stone crosses planted firmly there. To emphasize that there was a Redeemer at the heart of God's creation. Someone who could make things new. Perhaps the Liberton Stone Cross, which sits in the museum now, once stood here on the hill when there was nothing much else there, just to give that message. There are many crosses in Austria at the top of mountains, big enough to be seen from a distance. We got up to the top of a summit this year to find an enormous cross bolted to the rock, anchored with steel ropes, with an inscription on it, "The Lord is your righteousness and peace." It's quite moving to stand on what seems like the top of the world and to read that message. So what do Columba and his friends have to say to us today? I've picked out three things. We're celebrating our bicentenary this year. That's 200 years of this church building. And we love it. It's a beautiful place to worship God together. But we must never confine God to a building. We must never become too rigid in the way that we worship him. God is to be found in the whole of his creation. So let's seek, like the Celtic Christians, to have the eye of the eagle, to see him in the world around us. Let's learn to enjoy him and to hear him speak to us in the open air, in the borderlands of the seashore or the mountains or the sunrise or the sunset. If you haven't been to the labyrinth in the center court, try and make time and fit it in over the next 10 days. That ties together these two strands that we've been talking about, of prayer and creation. You're out in the open air. Secondly, we can learn from Columba to take seriously our role as stewards of creation. When he built a monastery at Derry, when he was in his 20s, he made sure that not one tree was felled to make room for that monastery. He said in a poem that he dreaded the sound of an axe in the Derry woods. I'm told that in Austria, for every tree that's felled, two more are planted. And I can believe it, because in the Tyrol there are a lot of trees, even though there's an awful lot of wood used. But do we always take the care of creation as seriously? The landscape and the living things in it, God's creation, are being damaged by physical pollution of chemicals, litter. Living creatures are abused for greed and consumption. Habitats are wrecked. What can you see happening locally? Is there something you could do? God's healing power can be seen in the natural world. Disused quarries, disused roads, soon green over, they're colonized by grass and trees. But what can we do to help that work? It's our responsibility. We can't leave it to others. And thirdly, I think we can recognize our own place as human beings within God's creation. We have a special place where we're known and loved by our Creator. So do all the other human beings around us, whether or not they know that. And yet this world is damaged by violence and injustice. And we are the people who can bring the knowledge of God's love and care and forgiveness to those around us. We are the people who can see what the healing power of God can do in people's lives. But we have to be where these people are, out in the world around us. Just as Stage and Slam was out in a local school. Vincent Donovan wrote a book called The Church in the Midst of Creation. A church that he envisaged that wasn't tied to buildings or conventions, definite ways of doing things. One day, Jesus will come again, and all things will be made new. But until then, we have this world with all its beauty and all its life entrusted to our care. So let's not be found wanting. Let's pray. Lord God, help us not to be afraid to move out into your creation, to long for the eye of the eagle, to find you everywhere with us. Help us to care for every tiny piece of the wonderful jigsaw, which is your creation. Help us to work to bring the healing and transformation that only your grace can provide. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.